everybody. Welcome to episode 165 of your Overseas Connection. We are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gaming for the elderly. And today is April 24th, 2012. And I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag, Murphy's Law, Murphy's Law 1969 on the old PSN whenever I dare to fire it up. And let's see, joining me this week, well, first and foremost, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Hi, everyone.
And hello back, Chris. How are you doing today?
Awesome.
You sound like the voice of awesome right now.
I am the voice of awesome.
Speaking of somebody else who, I dare say, awesome as well, Mr. Richard Primrose on the show this week.
Hi. I got lost, and now I'm back.
You got lost. It happens.
Greg found me. I was in the gutter.
Amongst a bunch of pictures of goats and Smurfs.
Yeah. Before we get started, I've just got something. This one goes out to Webby. He'll know what that means. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm back. Hello.
Hello, hello. So not with this at the moment, Mr. Mike Chin. He is coming in to the podcast potentially at any moment, literally just waiting for him to get in. So, yeah, I think, right now we are going to, just dive into it, guys. I think we can start talking about what we've been playing.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so, yeah, what we've been playing, of course, right as we get ready to talk about what we've been playing, Mr. Mike Chin decides to join us.
Yeah,
Mike.
Well, yeah, yeah, I'm back.
Timing is everything.
Just got back in from work.
That's what we call drinking at the pubs, carousing and you know,
no.
Flirting with women.
No, I was actually at a soccer game, Greg.
Oh, yeah, they were playing tonight, weren't they?
Nice. Aston Villa versus Bolton. Just to fill you in there, America, Aston Villa are on the verge of going down, getting relegated into the league below. So they really needed to win tonight. They was winning, and then a minute later, they was drawing, and then 2 minutes later, they were losing 2-1. So it was a bit of a turn of events in 5 minutes. So Aston Villa might get relegated. It's not looking good for the club.
Now, that doesn't sound very promising. Were you down on the old pitch video?
No, not today. We was in the stands today. We was in the press area, so we wasn't on the pitch.
You were drinking, flirting with girls.
I was on the pitch on Saturday, and like we had to do this like kind of charity handover thing, and basically we was on the big screen, and the cameraman was just like on us, and we was just there holding a big check for like what felt like 10 minutes, but it was probably like 30 seconds, and we just did not know what to do, so I was just talking to the Acorns people, so it was like. Okay.
So are you talking like the Happy Gilmore size jumbo check?
Yeah, yeah.
You know the reference I'm giving there?
No, but I'm guessing
you've never seen Happy Gilmore?
Not properly.
Mike,
it's not really something that's unique to Happy Gilmore. When someone wins big money, someone hands them a giant ass check. I'm sure you've seen it before.
Yeah, we had one of those big checks. We had one of those checks.
Well, let's address the more important issue, Mike. You've never seen Happy Gilmore properly.
No, I've skimmed in and out of it, you know.
This is a podcast about games.
Video games. Let's get to games then.
All right. Let's do that. Let's talk about what we've been playing. Mr. Vocal, Mr. Matthew, we'll start with you. I know the list is relatively short due to your busy work week, but let's talk anyway.
I've been playing Forza Motorsport 4.
Succinct to the point. Is there anything you wanted to elaborate on with this, or is that just simply it?
There's too many goddamn races.
How long have you spent on it now?
I haven't really been keeping tabs. But just suffice it to say that since I bought Forza Motorsport 4, I have been playing it every second that we have been recording the show, and I'm still not halfway done.
Damn.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. That's a lot of fours of four. All right. Let's skip away from you, Mr. Matthew, and let's dabble with Mr. Primrose. Primrose, you have quite the long list. A lot of it, well, actually, no. A lot of it is some new stuff, some dabbling in all kinds of areas.
Yeah. I've been away for a while. I've been trying.
You have.
Keeping my hand on the gamepad, but not on the headset, as it were. So, Cinemora, solid parallel scrolling bullet hell shooter, much in the vein of Salamander and R-Type from Days of Yore. Really good. It's got an excellent setup as well, because one thing that always bugged me about parallel scrollers is if you just touch one bullet, you die. Well, this, it's got sort of a damage system, so you can absorb hits, but it will take you a certain amount of time before you die. Cool mechanic they've put in it is it's actually got bullet time, so you can actually pick up certain power-ups and accumulate them, and then you get a bar that basically entitles you to do some bullet time on it and slow everything down, which comes in particularly handy for the boss fights. It's definitely worth a pickup, although at the time I was playing other stuff. I would wait for a reduction because it is a 1200 pointer. I would certainly shell out 800 points for it. Yeah, very good. Also, Skylanders.
Skylanders.
I'm not going to go into too much detail on the gameplay and everything on this. Suffice to say, though, that this game is the most evil bit of marketing that Activision have ever brought out. So we got this for my son on his 6th birthday. And think Spyro, but very much souped up for today, with some very cool, obvious gadgetry involved, where you buy the characters, drop them on, and then they appear in the game. Now, these things are like crack for kids. Greg's already said it. Now, during the course of the last couple of weeks, I have been subjected to shirt tugging, childhood mouths in my ears just pleading with me to get the next character that they wanted. And Activision is so devious in how they've done it. Whilst you're playing the game, basically you will get adverts for characters that you haven't got.
That is evil.
Oh, and not only that, because we all know how we're suckers for power-ups and perks, you can actually pick up skins and power-ups for the characters that you haven't got. So, of course, while you're accumulating these things, said child is then wanting that character to go with the stuff that he's been picking up.
Now, Rich, yep. Can we be honest here for a second?
Yep.
This game's really for you, right?
No, I've had a stint of about half an hour on it. The person who has got involved in it, which has been the most surprising of all, has been my wife. you might not know this, but back in the PS1 days, my wife was mad on Spyro. And I used to buy Spyro for her, and it's the only ever video game that I've seen her actually sit down at a console and play. Apart from Bubble Bobble.
Bubble Bobble.
So,
wow.
Yeah, Bubble Bobble. She was into it. But the weird thing that I've noticed as well is these characters, man, are selling like fucking so fast. It's unbelievable. I've done like
crack. Selling like crack.
Selling like crack, exactly. I've done like we went out last Saturday looking for Chop Chop. If you don't know, if you've listened to Giant Bombcast, Chop Chop, because I had the inside knowledge, is the best character in the game. He's got the best power ups and so on. So I planted.
So you were on the search for Chop Chop.
Well, I was in the search for Chop Chop, and so we ended up going to about 3 shops, and 2 of them were sold out of everything. You couldn't get anything, and then we eventually went to Toys R Us, which had It's like there's about 32 characters in this game, and they only had on display about 8. Luckily, Chop Chop was one of them. We also got Drobot.
Thank God Chop Chop was available.
Yeah, Chop Chop was available. We got Drobot and Sergeant something or other. This red
kid. Yeah.
Sergeant something or other.
Yeah. And we picked them up and we went to the till, and I was just like perusing all of the tills and that were open, and there must have been 4 or 5 kids that all had characters in the queue with appearance. So I think Activision are definitely onto a winner, and B, expect EA to respond in kind for this Christmas. but yeah, it is a good game though. So it's
I fully expect them to do this with Call of Duty now, and we'll have playable action figures that we have to go buy at the store, and then we put on this block, and then that's our character in the game.
Yeah, yeah, you'll be getting gun lockers and all sorts that you can stick guns in. Yeah, great. Yeah, so we played that. I also picked up Geometry Wars HD for the iPad. That was a bit of a disappointment, because I love Geometry Wars. I know Mike does.
Yep.
It would at least seem to me that's a game that needs proper thumbsticks.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and that was the unfortunate thing about it, because I've seen similar games, i.e. Tilt to Live, which is very similar to Geometry Wars, basically implement a mechanic of using the gyroscope within the iPad. So you can basically just tilt the screen around. I would have liked to see possibly just some touchscreen activity of being able to move around that way. But no, they've gone with the virtual thumbsticks, and it doesn't really work properly, especially for a game like that where you've got to be quite agile. Yeah, so that was a bit of a letdown, really. My new love, and I've heard it on a podcast compared to Dark Souls, which rang some bells and also made me a bit disturbed, is Fez. So anybody else plays Fez?
Mike, I think you gave Fez a go, didn't you?
I did play Fez, yes.
Yes.
All right.
Love the idea that they've chucked the whole physics of depth and perspective out the window and created this gem of a game, because it's got me hooked, definitely. This is my sit down and chill out for an hour before the kids get up in the morning game. I'm absolutely loving it. Yeah, it's great. It's like a Lost, an 8-bit version of Lost. There's so many things in this game that I don't have a clue as to what they are. But yeah, so you've got the basic idea of going around and collecting cubes. Everything's based on the cubes and getting the cubes and making bigger cubes and collecting the bigger cubes. So they unlock gates and you can get into new worlds and so on. It's quite easy to get lost. I've heard a few people say that, and it is true. But I'm enjoying getting lost because it leads to new places, and I find it very entertaining.
I'm not quite sure. This clearly is your connection, but it's been funny as heck listening to you for the past like couple minutes, because your connection seems to be getting gradually worse, then gets a little bit better, then gradually worse. So at any point in time, I expect you to either completely drop off or completely clear up. But before you get too far much further into your opinion on Fez, I wanted to have Mike chime in on his opinion on Fez. I figure we can kill two birds with one stone here.
Sure. Yep.
It's all right. I didn't fall in love with it. I heard a lot of kind of ramblings about it, but I didn't fall in love with it. It's certainly like a good game, and it's better than the average arcade game, and well worth 800 Microsoft points. I'm impressed that they knocked it down to that much. But it's a sale game for me. It's still a sale game, and I imagine it would be fun to get lost in that world. It's cute, it's charming, but it doesn't really base itself on logic. It's kind of more kind of guessing games in a way. I didn't fall in love with it. I'll be picking it up when it's a bit cheaper, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. For me, it's It's everything Jet Set Willy aspired to be, and it's now been realised in this current day and age, and I'm well happy with it. So I'm going to
well
carry on on that.
Yeah. Well, clearly it sounds like it's a game that's, you know, anybody that has, you know, Xbox Live Arcade should just at least download the trial, and, you know, it's not going to cost you anything. Download the trial and check it out.
I think so.
All right. I know, Rich, we've got more games on your list, so let's continue on. There's another arcade game on your list.
Yeah, I'll only just briefly go over this, and then I'm going to let you guys take the ball and run with it, because I think you've probably got a lot more to say about it. That's Trials Evolution. I've not played Trials HD. I know loads of people say good things about it. So I picked up this demo in the throes of Fez, so that's probably diverted my attention. And all I'll say about it is I was absolutely pissing myself for the 45 minutes that I played it. The ragdoll mechanics on this thing are absolutely hilarious. I wouldn't say that I'm very good at it, but all of the resulting crashes and so on that I was doing were just making me laugh my head off. And it reminded me a lot of something completely different, which was Flat Out Ultimate Carnage, which was one of my early favourite driving games, very arcadey and stuff. And yeah, I love it. It's a good one, definitely. But you guys have probably got something more to say about it.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, I've played a ton of it, Mike. I saw you have recently jumped up into the fray.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my down and dirty on it. It is. I mean, Trials HD was good. But it always felt a little limited because it ramped up in its difficulty pretty quickly, and there just wasn't much more to do other than just try and go through those tracks. And this version, man, talk about throwing the kitchen sink at everything. I mean, you've got multiplayer races, you've got asynchronous single-player races that you still can race against your buddies in. You've got these other like kind of side circus, just fun activity games that you can basically go through. Like one of them is you're on skis and you have to do stunts on skis and see how far you can get on skis. Or you have to go through the track without basically the use of brakes. So it's just constant throttle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And or one of my favorites was you only had a limited amount of gas. And you had to see how far you could get on the course with just this very limited amount of gas in your tank. And every time you hit the throttle, it would drain off just a little bit more gas. And just all of that. And on top of that, you've got a full track editor that you can go in and not only create new tracks, but actually create different types of games. I mean, very little Big Planet-esque, if you, at least from what I can see.
Yeah.
And this game, to me, easily sits up there as one of the best of this year. I am thoroughly impressed with what they've put out for Trials of Evolution.
It's definitely going to probably win one of the best arcade games this year. But it could be in the running for one of the best. I mean, I think ultimately it boils down to, is this your type of game or not? And if you don't like the, you know, kind of games like M+, or Super Meat Boy, or Trials HD, then you're not really going to like this. There are some things that you could probably get into, like the track customization. The multiplayer is a little less trial and error. But really, to get the full experience, it's still that type of game. It's fail until you succeed. And the thrill of succeeding is heightened by the amount of times you fail, pretty much. And they've kind of took what was great about Trials HD, that was all the levels was underground, and they've just opened it all up. They've made it absolutely ridiculous. They've really gone to town with how much they hurt the little character that's on the bike. All fun stuff. They spent 3 years making this, and you can tell because they put a lot into it, and it's great value for 1,200 points. So I like it. I love it. I think the little dots, watching your friends you know, catch up and then speed down, and you think, hey, how did you get over that? How the hell did you get over that? And then eventually you do it, and then there's another part that you can't get over, and you see the dot try as you're trying, and then eventually the dot wins, and you're like, damn it. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I love it. I mean, it's one of these games that you're going to have to jump on the bandwagon very soon, because, you know, like Charles HD, people do come back to it, but only kind of like the hardcore dedicated do. So it's nice to kind of get in there with the first month of it, get a lot of gameplay out of it, and then get your money's worth.
Right. Well, certainly on the multiplayer part,
yeah.
I think that's absolutely going to be true. I mean, that is the beauty of the asynchronous stuff, though. Your friends' time trials will always be there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I've already come to the conclusion we have some rather speedy people in the gate community.
Definitely. And I, it's funny because someone was tweeting me today saying, you know, not all of us can be as fast as Chinny. And I absolutely don't think I'm fast at all, because on my friends list, I'm like totally, like, just like, I'm like fourth everyone, because there's always like three above me that are just like nailing it all the time. So, yeah. It's funny, eh? Like, on one person's friends list, you seem like the one who's really fast, but on my friends list, I'm like really crap. Because I have a couple of friends on my friends list that are just hardcore into it, and they must get... And once you know a score is possible, you kind of achieve it or try and achieve close to it. So, I'm always trying to chase those guys, and I suppose other people are trying to chase me. And yeah, so it's a fun mechanic.
I just did a map. In fact, you're one of the dots that I'm chasing.
Am I beating you at the moment?
Yes, you are beating me at the moment.
Because you did, I think it was the roller coaster map you did... Murph, and I was like, yeah, he did that pretty fast. I'm not sure I can do that. And then a couple of tries in, I managed to just pip you. Not by a lot, but I think I pipped you. and it's quite a nice feeling, because I know you're going to come back to it one day and go, you fuck.
Damn it.
Yeah, I mean, I could brag about it. I could send you a message and say, hey, check out that, but I'd rather you just kind of find it and you're on a cord, you know.
I'll go back through. One of the things that always was at least gratifying to me for the past couple days, because the game sold really well. There's a good 100,000 people playing it, if not more by now. And when you break under, like, you're on the leaderboard and you're like 10,000 or higher up on the leaderboard, for some reason 10,000 is like the golden plateau to me. It's like, if I'm in the top 10,000 on Trials HD Evolution, I am way happy.
I don't think of it. I don't look at the... it really is, for me, trying to beat my mates. I don't care about where I am in the world ranking. I don't care if, you know, I'm like 20,000. As long as I beat my mates, I'm happy, you know?
As long as you beat me, yeah.
There's one guy on my friends list, I used to work with him, and he's just phenomenal at this game. So, it doesn't matter, Greg. Like, neither one of us are going to beat him, which is quite depressing.
Well, see, that's the beauty. He's not on my friends list, so it doesn't matter to me. Yeah. But as long as I'm ahead of you, I will be happy.
Yeah, but
I'll
always be chasing him.
I know.
So
you've got to
compete with that guy.
It's good stuff, though.
It is very good. It is very good.
And another arcade game, so free to check out for a demo. If you haven't tried it out, it's worth checking out by far. We have another big game on our list, but I'm going to have us hold off, because we do have an email that directly talks about the Ghost Recon Future Soldier beta.
I didn't even know this was out, and apparently I've got the Splinter Cell and stuff, so...
It is out, and...
The beta four.
The beta goes for... See, the proper way to say that, beta. That goes up until, I want to say, May 1st.
Well, it opens up to everybody on the 26th, doesn't it? So they want to give them about a week or so.
Right, and there is a new gameplay mode that will be coming as well, I believe, on the 26th. So there's two maps right now, one gameplay mode called Conflict, which really is team deathmatch with objectives.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll dive into that in a while.
Can I just put one thing in? It's not about the actual game. Because I know there's a lot of people out on Twitter and stuff that have been talking about codes and stuff. If you've got a Raptor account and you've not been on it for a while, check it. Because one of the gifts that they've been sending out to people is a code. So if you go in your message box, you could quite easily have a code waiting for you.
Well, I'm going to look on my Raptor account now. And if I have Ubisoft, a code, then somebody can have it because I have Splinter Cell. So.
Yeah, Ubisoft was pretty generous with their code giveaways. I noticed with Ghost Recon, when they sent out the code, they also sent me another email saying, here's three more codes to just give to your buddies so you have a squad.
That's a good idea.
And you can play together. Yeah, it was pretty clever. So, again, I will go back to, it's a beta, but also pretty much a demo.
Pardon
They're
me.
Really trying to that's pull as many thinking. People as they can. It's okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've heard that these beta codes are not hard to come by. So.
No, but it is definitely worth checking into as well. But all right, let's, Rich, I think you had one last game on your list, if I'm not mistaken, something about the iPad.
Oh, yeah. I've been intrigued over the past couple of weeks. So I went on the hunt to try and get XNA installed on my laptop.
Okay.
So for everybody, XNA is the tools that you get given by Microsoft to start having a dabble at making games. Big inspiration coming from Silver Dollar Games interview on the Veteran Gamers, because if they can build them games, then anybody can do it, surely. but I couldn't do it because even the laptop that I've got runs stuff like League of Legends and stuff, barely. It wasn't up to the job of doing XNA coding, so I'm still interested. And then I went and had a look to see if you could get the iOS SDK, you know, for doing apps and stuff. And you have to pay £90 for that.
Bloody hell.
So I thought, what's the use in that? You know. They're getting too big for their boots, Apple. So that was just the last thing that I was having dabbled in. It's not what I've been playing, but what I've been attempting to do. So who else has been playing games?
Well, Mike, did you have anything else on your list?
Nah.
Okay. Nah.
Nothing new, so nah, that's right.
Okay, well, I do have a couple other games on my list. So, I the biggest one on my list is The Witcher 2. I have fully gotten into this game, and I know my impression of the game last week was fairly lukewarm from the tutorial. I mean, it impressed me as a good game, but it wasn't something that really was standing out.
Okay.
Once I got past the tutorial, this game completely evolved in front of me, and it is fantastic. I mean, I cannot sing the praises of Witcher 2 enough. The story, the voice acting, I'm not sure why that tutorial section came across to me so bland, but the voice acting is superb in The Witcher 2. The story is deep, extremely like multifaceted, political intrigue, and very much has a Game of Thrones vibes to me. So if you're a fan of the Game of Thrones, would enjoy the story a lot. It has the same mature themes of, you know, it handles sex and nudity in the game, but I felt like it handled it in a pretty mature way the first time I encountered it. I really expected it to be rather childlike in the way they were going to address it, but no, it was actually done with a little bit of sense of humor as well added to it, and I was impressed. And not something that I was just like, oh, they just threw that in there to throw it in there. The graphical presentation on this game is excellent. Again, I have a feeling the tutorial mode was made specifically for the Xbox and might have just kind of been thrown in there later on. But once I've gotten into the proper game, the lighting, just the ambient sounds, everything in this game is absolutely first rate. And the last piece, which, Rich, you will find some irony in this, the combat is extremely difficult in this game, but very satisfying when you execute properly. And I know there definitely can be a Dark Souls correlation to that.
I mean,
I think you're in, yeah. it's interesting, and I think if this game didn't have as good a story as it does, and the voice acting wasn't as good as it was, the combat being as difficult as it can be sometimes, I think would have put me off. I think I would have gotten frustrated and kind of thought to myself, why am I playing this? But because the story is so good, I really have been vested in the combat doesn't seem to bother me, even though it is challenging.
Flow and is it easy to use?
It is. It's very easy to use. I think the thing that makes the combat so challenging is the tactics that you have to take. So one of the things that I think we're all not as accustomed to, because we played games like Skyrim or even Kingdoms of Amalur, you can use potions and traps and things like that, but you don't really need to use them too often to get through most of the combat in those games. In this game, straight from the get-go, you need to continuously be thinking about the combat situations you're going to be getting into and what potions you need to drink, what enhancements you need to give to your swords. There's oils and basically like poisons you can apply to your sword that can affect and damage different types of creatures in different ways.
So how does that flow in combat?
Well, so that's the challenge. So certain things, like applying enhancements to your sword, like oils, you can do in combat by going to a pause screen and going into your inventory. Potions, you have to drink before you get into a combat scenario. Once you're in combat, it won't let you perform a drink potion. I know that may not make a lot of sense, but basically you are able to slow down time and pick like your magic spells, or if you want to pick a particular weapon or a trap, and you can activate it from the slowdown menu and put it into like a usable slot. But the only thing you can't do is drink your potions.
So when you say slowdown menu, that means that everything's still continuing.
Right. Let's say I come to a pathway and I see there's a ruffian ahead of me. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to put on a poison potion on my sword that's going to cause extra bleed damage, and I will drink a vitality potion, or my desire was to drink a vitality potion to basically let my health regenerate during combat. If I've gotten into an actual combat scenario where the guy is charging me and I've got like the red hue saying you're in combat, I'm not going to be able to drink the potion. It'll say that action can't be performed. I can apply the oil, and then there are other things that I can do, like my different spells I can set up, and you hit the left bumper, and it slows time down, but it doesn't stop time. And so the guy will continue to charge me, and if he gets close enough, he will be able to attack me while I'm in my slowdown mode. It helps you develop a tactic and potentially decide if you want to use a trap or not, but ultimately all combat's going to happen in real time, and you use blocks and parries, and you're going to use those often to either maneuver yourself to flank the opponent, but then the biggest challenge, I think, and this is what makes it frustratingly good, is that if you come across, say, five guys, all five of them will attack you at once. They're not going to sit back and do the Assassin's Creed one at a time. We'll wait and allow you to engage just one at a time. You're literally going
Derek,
to get surrounded.
Hey, Derek, you go get him first.
Exactly. So you have to be, your head on a swivel. You have to understand if you see them starting to run past you, they're trying to flank behind you. And so you're constantly having to reposition yourself, re-maneuver, to keep yourself from being flanked, and then also be very particular about who you are engaging in combat. If you see a knight with a shield and he's got armor on, probably not your best choice for your first person to go after. It's the guy next to him that's like in just rags with a dagger in his hand. He's the one you want to take out first, because you kill off the weakest.
Pick on the little man, Greg. Pick on the little man.
The reason why you want to pick on the little man, because unlike other games, the little man can still kill you. And so if he gets behind you, even though he's the little guy, it, just one or two strikes and you're dead. But so, and again, it can be frustrating because there's been many times where I've died a couple different times going into the combat. But as you play it more, you start to really learn the tricks of the trade with the combat and what spells you can use that are effective in combat to help you with your style of combat. And then, you know, the other portion to it is just learning you can't just go in hacking and slashing and think you're going to come away with a win, especially if there's more than one opponent in front of you. That is a sure sentence to death. But the story is so good that even when you're at your most frustrated moments, you're still going to be like, this is so good, and you can't wait to hear more. So, I don't know. Very impressed by The Witcher 2. I won't spend any more time on it. Highly recommend. Check it out if you are so inclined.
It's got elves
yes.
in it.
I know, and Mike, I do have to apologize. Uh-huh. I think two podcasts ago I said, oh, Mike, this is one thing you'll love. It doesn't have elves, and sure enough, first words I hear as I get into the game, it's the elves.
You also said there was elves in Dark Souls, and there's not.
I know. I see. I'm just completely wrong about elves.
Yep.
So if you ever ask me if there's elves in a game, I may or may not have a clue.
Never going to believe you again.
Yeah. Last game I checked out, and it was literally just today at lunchtime, I put in Dragon's Dogma and gave the demo a quick whirl. I don't have a lot to say about it. It was a very fast look into the game. Visually, it looked good. It has some quirky camera issues. When I was in combat a couple different times where the camera just went effing crazy because I was too close to the walls, and so I couldn't quite see what I was doing. I knew I was killing something because I heard the slashing sounds hitting meat. But the game also, as much as I had those complaints and it felt a little dark, it also has some really neat hooks to it. And the most promising hook isn't the giant monster combat, which is a nice hook, but it's the pawn system. So you create this secondary character that's kind of like a henchman for you, and this person goes into you with you in combat, and they gain experience. But every once in a while, you'll come across these. It's like a stone that will allow you to access this magic realm, and you can hire somebody else's henchman.
Why would you want to do that?
I think it's off your friends list. But basically, let's say, Mike, you've got a level 5 henchman, and I'm just starting out, and I've come across a really tough creature.
Right. I've heard about this. I know what this is.
I know it's going to be a tough fight.
Yeah.
I could hire your henchman, who already has beaten this creature before, to come and fight alongside of me.
I know how this mechanic works.
Yeah, what was really cool is I saw it work, and Rich, go ahead, explain it, Rich.
Yeah, because what it is, it's not a live player coming into your game. What you can do is, it's like when you're offline, you can send your own henchman and your own player, like much like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, you know, you could send them out on the missions to go and do certain tasks. If you put your characters out into doing tasks to gain XP and so on, they'll wander off as NPCs into somebody else's game, fight with them, gain the XP, and then when you switch on again and start playing, they've got the XP and earned it.
Right. And the other thing that's cool about it is they'll learn how to handle and defeat certain bosses. Or not bosses, but types of creatures. So in one instance, we had like, and I don't know if this was directly part of this pawn system or not, but we had a bunch of harpies fly in at my group, and one of the soldiers started grabbing the harpies by the wing and was pinning it on the ground, and then I would just run up and stab it. And I'm assuming, and I could rightly or wrongly, but that's part of this learned behavior that the NPC characters can do.
So does it teach you then, basically?
Well, it's not so much that I think it teaches you, but your NPC character learns and then can jump, basically can come in and, you know, utilize that in your game for you to assist you. Does that make sense?
I'm just thinking, like, if it's face the boss in your game and then somebody else borrows your NPC and they're fighting that same boss, would the boss kind of help out in certain ways that would give away how to beat the boss or something, or am I just thinking out too?
Well, they won't completely do it for you, but they certainly are going to be advantageous to you. And there is a cost. That's probably the other part that just keeps you from always going out and hiring the really high-end NPC characters. There is a cost associated with hiring these pawns. So they will cost you gold to hire them.
Gold.
And so you may not be able to afford the real high-end NPC character to come in for, you know, the pawn to come in and play for you. And then they also, of course, will take a big chunk of your money as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, there's some good things happening there.
That's cool. It's different. It sounds really different. So, yeah, that's cool.
It definitely was different. And so it most certainly is a one to watch. And then, of course, it certainly doesn't hurt it that if you get Dragon's Dogma, you also will get the access to the Resident Evil 6 demo in, what, June or July? I think it's July.
Okay.
So, yeah, some people care. Yeah. Capcom fans care.
Dragon's Dogma is due for release on May the 22nd in North America. All right. Cool.
Okay.
Just to let you know that Skulldogger was correct. I do have a beta code for Ghost Recon Future Soldier. So if anybody wants it, you have till the 30th of April to message me. If you don't, then who cares? Because you can get it for free anyway. So yeah.
All right. That's
I also
enough
have 35% off Logitech G Series peripherals and 60% off Logitech Modern Warfare 3 peripherals.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
Raptor has changed a lot.
Yeah. They're growing up.
Yeah. All right.
Can we talk about some new releases now?
I think we can, Greg.
Brilliant. Okay, so new release time. Guess what, guys?
The Wii is dead.
Yeah, nothing on the Wii this week. There is a glimmer of hope for the 3DS with Shifting World. That's hitting the retail shelves this week. PS3, certainly more promising. Retail shelves, you've got Prototype 2 coming out this week. A bunch of PSN games coming online this week. You've got Battlefield 3, Bejeweled 3, The Cursed Crusade, Darkstalkers 3, Future Cop LAPD,
Future Cop,
Grease Dance, and Red Faction, all coming out on PSN for download. And minis, you've got Golf Mania and Ikari, The Rescue. I don't know. One of those games. Demos this week, Dragon's Dogma and Ninja Gaiden 3 on the PSN, free. And Modern Warfare 3 gets Overwatch DLC this week.
If you have Elite.
Well, there's that. PSP Vita, nothing new in terms of retail games or PSN games.
Good start,
they do
to,
get
a,
mini.
Good start to a launch handheld, isn't it?
Yeah. We're not going to pick on them. But the Golf Mania, download that. It's mini.
They've got Skype coming. I was surprised to hear that. See the Microsoft button. Skype's going on the Vita.
Could be foreshadowing. Xbox 360 this week. Prototype 2 on the retail shelves. Bloodforge. The Xbox Live Arcade version of God of War. I'm pretty sure of it. That is coming out this week.
You heard
Wednesday.
Anything about that? Is that good or bad?
I watched the Giant Bomb quick look.
Okay.
And,
okay.
I've seen a video on it. It looks
it's
too
not
bloody, too gory, right. And a bit clunky.
We do have demos this week. I already mentioned Dragon's Dogma and Ninja Gaiden 3.
Ninja Gaiden.
And, DLC this week, you've got the Dance Central stuff going on. Give me everything. Please, give me everything. Deals of the week. What are the deals of the week this week? I had it open earlier. Let's see. We've got NBA Jam And that's it. NBA Jam is the deal of the week. It's...
There's also another deal of the week there, Greg. You can buy the NBA 2K11 Slam Dunk, which is basically making your avatar do a slam dunk for 120 Microsoft points. Wow.
I can see Big Smooth 8 running back to his Xbox as we speak.
Yeah, he's probably buying that.
He's already bought it.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Yeah, that is happening right now. But that's it for new releases, guys.
Aw, yeah.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, it's news quiz time. Are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've not just cocked up the question, have I?
No, certainly not. Mike,
yep.
How many discs will be required for the single-player game of Max Payne 3?
Ooh,
is it one disc,
question.
Two discs, or three discs?
Repeat the question,
I'll
you crafty devil.
I'm going to. How many discs will be required for the single-player portion of Max Payne 3? One disc, two discs, or three discs?
Now, I think you're trying to catch me out a little bit.
It's a trick question.
Because I don't know the answer for as a whole, or but the key word there is single player, and I think the single player will be on one disc, and the multiplayer will be on another. That's a guess, but see how we go.
Can I have a guess?
Rich, you can have a guess.
Fuck you.
Mike was wrong. What's your guess, Rich?
I'm going to go for the single player, two discs, and then another disc for the multiplayer.
Well, Rich, you would be partially right. It is required for two discs for the single-player game. The first disc will contain the multiplayer and half of the single-player game, and the second disc contains the second half of the single-player campaign. So there you have it.
God, that's a red herring that's eaten another red herring.
Is that again? Repeat that.
Jesus.
Okay, so the first disc will contain the multiplayer portion of the game and half of the single player.
Okay, right, that's fine.
While the second disc contains the second half of the campaign.
It makes more sense to put the multiplayer on one disc and split the single player up because, you know, you wouldn't want to, okay, next map and then change discs. You wouldn't want to do that. So, okay, that's fine.
All right, Rich, you are up next. What is the name of Robert Bowling's, formerly from Infinity Ward, new game studio? Is it A, Robotaki? I could be saying that wrong, I don't know. Or is it Robonik? Or Robosushi?
Why is he starting a game studio? He was just a community dude, wasn't it? Anyway, I digress. The one that sounded in the middle like Robotnik.
You should have gone with the first one I couldn't pronounce, the Robotoki. It's basically Robotaki is, I think, the way you could also pronounce it. He's starting up his own game studio. It says, we are focused on our team first and everything else second, because I believe as an industry we have a lot to learn on how to treat talent. While we continue to... continue to outstride film and music entertainment in other areas, we are falling severely behind in how to properly inspire and support our creative talent.
Oh, expect an Infinity Ward kiss and tell book any day now.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. He did say the company's first project will be revealed later this year and is targeted for next-gen consoles and PC and mobile devices. So pretty much everything under the sun. That leads us to the next question. Mr. Matthew, you are up now, and I don't know if you were listening earlier or not, so I specifically left this question for you.
Yay.
Yay. What new feature is coming to the Vita today?
Skype.
Is it? Is it A, Skype video?
Hang on.
B, in-game video recording, or C, MS Messenger?
Skype.
Yes, indeed. It is Skype video. I thought there might be a slim chance you hadn't come back to the podcast when they said when he said that.
No, I didn't hear any. I'm sorry. I saw it on IGN today.
Well, there you go. You are an informed podcaster.
Yes.
All right. So, yeah.
Okay, I'm
Skype
going away now.
Video. There you go. Skype video available for the Vita today. All right. Mr. Matthew, I'm actually going to come right back around to you.
No, you're not.
No, I am.
Okay.
What U.S. retailer claims to have one of the largest collections of digital download PC games available to consumers? Is it A, Best Buy, B, Walmart, or C, GameStop?
U.S. retailer...
with the largest collection of digital download PC games.
Largest collection...
Nearest keypad.
Yeah, I know. Don't be Googling this now, mister.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to... GameStop.
That's a good guess. Yeah, GameStop. I wouldn't have thought, because you never see PC games on the shelves, but yeah, apparently...
Well, digital downloads,
largest...
they're not going to be on the shelf, genius.
Well, they said they have over 1,500 downloadable titles available for purchase, but here's the interesting thing. You can purchase them in-store. So... yeah, they said, you know, not everybody has PayPal, not everybody uses their credit cards to buy digital download games.
Hmm.
Interesting spin. Their way of trying to stay relevant as things change, I guess.
I have expected you to say Gamefly because they've recently started a PC digital download service as well.
I have noticed that. It's an ever-evolving space. Mike, you are up next.
Yeah.
When will Activision officially unveil its next Call of Duty game? Is it A, during an upcoming NBA playoff game, B, during the NHL Stanley Cup Championship Series, or C, they are on the record as holding off until the E3 reveal?
I believe it's May the 1st during an NBA playoff game.
You are just too smart. Look
at
you.
Yeah.
Yes.
May the 21st.
May
1st. 2025.
Yeah, NBA,
2025.
Rich. We're not believing that malarkey a second time. All right, Rich, that means you are up next, which means you get the NPD question. How do you like that? That's what you get for this. According to the NPD data, what is the percentage of free-to-play gamers that have spent real money in-game, even though it's technically a free game? Is it A, 27%, B, 36%, or C, 40%?
Just based on just PC games.
Free to play?
It's all going to be PC, isn't it, more or less?
Yeah, more or less PC, yeah. What percentage of people that actually have spent money?
I'm going to go quite high, 40.
Well, that would be a great guess. 40% of gamers that have played free-to-play games have actually spent money, according to NPD. It says those who make an in-game payment tend to do so within the first month of playing, and those who try free-to-play titles tend to keep playing them, with 84% continuing to play after the first try. They did say among those who abandon free-to-play titles, men aged 13 to 34 are most likely to abandon it, while women, in general, are more likely to stay playing. So there you go.
13 to 34?
Yes.
That's
quite the age range.
Yeah. That doesn't even make sense. Whatever. Okay.
Oh, hey. That's the data. Don't shoot the horse. Let's see. Mike, I'm going to come back to you for this question because it is UK-related.
Hi.
What game took the top spot in this week's UK software sales? Is it A, FIFA Street, B, Kinect Star Wars, or C, The Witcher 2?
I believe it's The Witcher 2, followed by FIFA Street, and I think Star Wars was number 4.
You're pretty good, yeah. FIFA Street and FIFA 12 took 2 and 3. The Witcher 2, of course, was number 1. Kinect Star Wars, number 4. Mass Effect 3 at 5. Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13 at number 6, Battlefield 3 coming in at 7, Skyrim at 8, Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games at number 9, and hanging on at 10, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
I wonder if the NPDs got screwed up slightly because Tesco's put on the shelves early.
Well, the NPDs wouldn't have been screwed up by Tesco.
No?
Because that's just North American sales.
Oh.
Just America.
Well, and Canada. That counts as North America.
But you were talking about UK then, weren't you?
Just now, yes.
Yeah, sorry. I said NPD.
It's okay.
But I wonder if that... Yeah. I just wonder if that did screw that up slightly.
Hey, Rich, we'll put this last question to you. I know you were a big Brink lover and supporter.
Before it came out, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So here's the question to you. Recently uncovered sales figures, how much did Brink sell? I can't even speak English right now. How much did Brink sell last year? Is it A, 750,000 units, B, 1.3 million, or C, 2.5 million?
I think it would have just been an initial spurt, and then the wildfire of bad reviews would have stopped it. So I want to go for 750,000.
He's wrong.
He is dead wrong.
1.3 million.
Really?
2.5 million units worldwide.
I thought it was 1.3.
Guaranteed sequel.
No. Yeah. It's a surprisingly high number of sales. For a game that was reviewed so poorly.
Well, it's probably going to be developed by DICE so that they can follow the same template as Battlefield 3.
What are you talking about? Developed by
completely.
DICE?
No. That was a spin-off from Bethesda, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's published. No, it's published by Bethesda.
Yeah. And it's Splash Damage Games.
Splash Damage.
I know that. I was making a joke because they're
not allowed to make. Oh, that's what you was doing.
Not allowed. To
yes.
Make a joke.
Oh. Joke.
Yeah.
See?
And last question. Chris, is this segment over now? Is it over now? Or is it over now?
I'm going to go with now.
Tube, you know, I mean, oh, what the, who the f*** did that? such a piece of
Rage quitter, yeah.
You dude, admit it.
Rage quitter.
I didn't pay $60 for this game to deal with this bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna come over to your house and Rage shove that controller right up your ass. Dude, you take this game way too seriously.
All right, back from the break, and it's time for the community mailbag. Time to talk a little shop. Questions posed, questions answered. The biggest question, where did Rich go, will be probably answered shortly.
Yep.
Yeah. More importantly, though, Chris, we had a question last week, something about Steam boxes.
We had a question last week?
We did.
Oh.
Should Valve make the Steam box?
Should they?
It's a good question. I'm kind of inclined to think no. I think they should keep their hands out of the or their feet out of this water. I don't know there's enough room in this industry for a fourth box.
Well, I mean, it depends on whose perspective you're looking at things from, right? I think, my own personal opinion, I think it would be a poor business decision on the part of Valve. But
right.
If you look at it from the consumer's perspective, which is where most of our readers took or listeners took it, things might sound a little differently.
True, but you know the other part of that I would kind of worry, or it would be impactful to the PC side of it, is that to do a Steam box, they're going to have to create a standard set of specs. You know, you're not going to be able to say, I'm going to run this on Uber settings or on low settings, because at the end of the day, the Steam box is going to have set hardware that you're not going to be upgrading from, unless, of course, they make it upgradable. I guess that could always be an option, but
or they could
then again,
offer
that's
you,
just the PC.
You know, three levels of the Steam box, you know?
True. I don't know. I'm very split. I don't know that a Steam box excites me. I personally am more excited about the thought of them further evolving Steam and making it a platform that potentially could be unified with other platforms. You know, like an Xbox, you know, Xbox Live or a PSN, where it was truly, you know, merged, where they had agreements in place and allowed people to access it if they wanted, type thing. I don't know. Mike, what do you think? Steambox, yes, no? Should Valve dive into those waters?
They could do it. I think if they did do it, it would do well. But I don't think they will, because I think they're PC through and through. And that's the way they've always been. I can't see them doing it. And I don't mind that. I think their platform is PC, and that's where they're comfortable with. And, I think that's good for them.
Yeah, they are certainly comfortable in the PC realm. Well, why don't we dive into some of what the community had to say. I know we did have a tweet. It was from David A.
Hey, and, David.
Yeah, he said, Steambox, yes.
Huh?
More competition on the console market can only be good for the consumer. And that is one area where I do agree, and Chris, you kind of brought that up earlier. Certainly, competition is going to drive more innovation.
Yeah,
and,
it does,
you know,
but
I mean,
you know, you can have too much choice as well.
True. Chris, why don't we have you tell us what was going on over at LAG with this question. I know there was a couple of responses there, and then Mike and I will tackle Gate together.
Okay. Womble says, yes! Not minding about the capabilities of the machine, having Steam on it would force prices down for older games on other consoles as well. One of the great things about Steam is the fact that it doesn't take games off its list, it merely reduces them in price. The likes of Quake and Doom, all great games in their day and always fun to load up for a blast now and again, cost a few pounds to buy. Go on to the Xbox, and old games are nearly always in the 15 to 20 pound mark. Having the competition from a Steam box force these prices down and make gaming even better. Yeah, I suppose that's true. Like the games on demand, I think Microsoft is still expecting you to pay $20 for Mass Effect 1 games on demand. So come on now, what are you doing? Anyway, moving on. The Real Defoe says, for me, it all depends on how it works. As a PC gamer and someone that has purchased a lot of games on Steam, the development of a Steam box is certainly something that is on my radar and something I would likely be interested in purchasing. One of the things that I really miss when playing on consoles is being able to play on user-created mods. For example, one of the things that made Unreal Tournament so great was the ability for users to create game types, skins, maps, etc. This has been completely lost on consoles. I would also love to be able to use a keyboard and mouse.
We started already. Carry on, Chris.
I would love to be able to use a keyboard and mouse instead of the controller, as some of the games are just better that way. I'm sure there are many other features that I would find appealing, but I don't want to take up your whole show. So cheers. Have a great show. Go Steambox.
Go Steambox. Okay. Was that it for lag?
Was yes, there one more that response? Was it.
Okay. All right, so we jumped over to the Gate forums. We had a number of responses over here. I'm going to bypass the first few, which was basically Mr. Matthew explaining what exactly the Steam Box was to one Spitfire Ian, because he wasn't quite sure if this was a real thing or not. Then we had Shinyverse chime in. He says, I'm under the impression it would connect to your TV and replace consoles, correct? I think bringing PC games to your TV, all digitally distributed, is a win for everyone. Publishers would get their money, and I would get things like EVE Online on my TV, playable for my couch. I can't see any negatives, other than I would never go outside. Yeah, EVE Online, very, very deep space sim RPG game. Yeah, good luck with that one, Shinyverse, if you ever do go for it. Let's see. Steve O'Matic chimed in, said, not something I'd really be interested in. If it were like OnLive, except, you know, one that works, then maybe I would be. But the way I'm set up doesn't warrant me getting it, getting gaming on my TVs. Streaming gaming on demand with high resolution and frame rates are what I want in a convenient package that doesn't require me to install, update, or fiddle with settings. OnLive has the right idea, but our current infrastructure doesn't support what I want it to be right now. Until then, I'll just stick to my PC. And then I'll chime in with Parsnips, and then I will turn over things to you, Mike. Yep. Parsnip just said, I'd buy it if it wasn't too expensive.
Of course he would. He buys everything. He's a gadget man.
Yes.
Yeah, so after Parsnip, we have JSS Lifelike from the Gamesman RPG show. You should check it out and all that jazz. So again, I'm straddling the fence on yet another, question of the week. Alright. On one hand, a Steam box could go a long way towards bringing PC gaming to the masses. Now, in the exact benchmark hardware gives a distinct advantage as to knowing just how far the box could be pushed. Also, console manufacturers, publishers would have a rude awakening coming once a mass scale of gamers had access to 1 year's old titles in a Christmas sale for $7 each. By the same token, console development already hinders PC software from the fact of lower polygon counts, etc. High-res texture packs are fine, but they seem to be simply a band-aid. PC gaming takes a lot of tinkering to get right, and that, amongst other things, is part of the joy therein. Whatever you say, Steve. Add to that, a dedicated mainstream spec wouldn't allow access to one of the greatest pluses in the open platform mods. They would be accessible if, say, they were made available on Valve's service, i.e. Skyrim Creation Kit. At the end of the day, and weighing all of the pluses and minuses, pluses is almost spelt like pusses, but, you know, I didn't say it, so... I'd have to, with no...
Assuming that's go with no.
Go with no. As much as I'd love for more folks to enjoy the rabbit hole that is PC gaming, a closed ecosystem just sacrifices too much. So
that's shocking. Conger, anti
So, you know, I mean, I'll read on, but like, people seem to think that if Steam made a Steam box, that it wouldn't be streaming. And I think it probably would be, because Steam are ahead of the game, and they know where things are going, so, I don't know.
Well, it's tough to say. I mean, they haven't, they don't have streaming games yet, so.
So, the next comments are.
What was that, Rich?
I was just saying, being absent the last couple of weeks, was this question spurred on by the fact that the CEO of Apple was
rumors
in Valve?
Yeah, but that rumor, I guess, has since been squashed a little bit, and in fact, he did not go visit Valve. Go figure. Anyway, continue on, Mr. Chen.
Well, the next comment is CP Matthew, who's on the show. But shall I read that one out, or shall I read Steve O'Matic again?
Go Steve O'Matic.
Okay. Steve O'Matic replies with, and he's kind of replying to other people's comments about stuff, connected PC and to a TV and all this. But he's talking about JSS point there. As to JSS's point, I agree that a closed ecosystem would take away that what PC gaming is all about. Brackets, at least to me. The point is to build a system to the point the way you want it, optimizing it from there. If you want a simple system, you can build one for the same price as a console, or cheaper. If you want a killer machine, then you can do that as well, and run your game on a super high, ultra, uber power ranger setting. Otherwise, it's just console gaming all over again, isn't it? Then Shinyverse starts talking about stuff, about TV and PC, connecting it all up. And then he says, yeah, I can do all that jazz. However, if that is what a Steam box is, I am not interested at all. From what I gathered, the Steam box is going to incorporate the best of console gaming and PC gaming in one machine. A simple plug-and-play PC with a simplified... I've got the burps. With a simplified interface that connects to my TV and fits nicely into my entertainment unit. That's my impression of it, anyways. If that's what it is, I want it. If it is just a PC sitting next to my TV, then I don't. I am not going to deal with complicated setups and updates. All those things Rich and Steve talk about as being badges of honor for PC gamers to deal with so they can get to the better experience that PC games are supposed to offer. PC gamers say that it's worth the hassle, and I respect their point of view. I even admire it, but I am not smart enough or patient enough to deal with it. Any of the complications that go with traditional PC gaming. Blah, blah, blah. So if it is a simple kind of dumb box for idiots like me and Shinyverse, then he's in. But if it's for PC people that like to, like, you know, model their PCs, yeah, then he's not in. So, yeah, that's kind of all the comments we have.
Yeah, well, we do have one more forum comment. Mr. Matthew, if you would be so kind, we did have that Play Vault comment. Figure I'll leave that to you, and then we'll tackle the emails with Rich.
We did have one comment from John Mouse on the Play Vault who says, I don't think it will ever come, and I don't think there's any need for a Steam box. Steam works fine for PC. Most games work with an Xbox control pad, too. All that would change is the size of the screen you would play it on as it goes from your PC monitor to your TV screen. A Steam box would be about as useful as the following. A chocolate teapot, a white crayon, a penis-flavored lollipop, and Skullduggeru. Only joking, Rich. Love you, man. X.
I was going to shout him out at the end of the show, but I don't think I'll bother now.
Yeah, screw him now.
You might want to skip that one. What you don't get to skip, Rich, your penance for having left at the show break. Mark Wright, his email.
Right. Okay.
Is it a penance for him or for us when he's reading it?
It's a penance. Hard to say. It's a penance for Fupa. Right. Okay. Good evening, chaps. Thought I would email you fine gents to help you spread the word that I'm taking names for this year's 4th annual Gamerscore Challenge. Challenge is simple. It's not how much Gamerscore you have, it's how much you can increase it in a 2-month period. Last year's winner increased their score by just over 20,000 points. The challenge starts on the 5th of May, so visit the Geek forums and sign up. There's a fantastic prize of 1 year's Xbox Live membership for the winner. If you're not a Gate member, then head on over and sign up. We're a friendly bunch, and the only requirement is that you are over 18 years of age. Yeah, that's G4TE.com. So, I am in RPG heaven right now. It's my birthday soon, and I have got 3 new RPGs for presents. And as they were all on special offers, I have them early. I got Dark Souls, limited edition, and this game is brutal, but I can see what Skull's liking for the game is. It does have a strange draw to it, and I am enjoying it in a strange kind of way, but I am dying a lot. I think I need to level up, as I am still a very low level. He's, again, for the Gate forums, he's been getting a lot of tips and so on from all the guys that are on there.
I've got you. I've got a tip for you.
What's that?
Mark, stop playing it.
Shit. I also have The Witcher 2, and this game is very good. The story is intriguing.
Oh, wait. Very, very good. It's double very there. Don't be trying to diss my Witcher 2 because I harped on your Dark Souls. This is RPG battle,
Greg.
Rich.
Greg.
Sorry. All right, I'll behave.
The story is intriguing and the visuals are superb. The gameplay is very slick and nice. Highly recommended for RPG lovers. This is filling my Skyrim black hole until the DLC drops. The last RPG I have is Kingdoms of Amalur: The Reckoning. It arrived this morning, so I haven't played it yet, but I did really enjoy the demo. Really looking forward to getting stuck into this. I just need to find time to play them now, and that's the worst bit. You see, I can't overload on one kind of game, because it's like Skyrim and Dark Souls. I can't see myself going out and getting The Witcher yet. I'm probably going to wait for it to go down in price in a few months, and I'm sure you've got the same dilemma. So, to the question of the week, the rumours of the Steam box don't have any bearing on me, really. If it did get released, I probably wouldn't get one. I gave up PC gaming a while ago due to constant changes in system requirements and the expense of keeping up to date. If they released Steambox, how would they cope with the ever-changing requirements? Will you have to upgrade it regularly? Will they develop games specifically for it so you don't have to upgrade? So many variables in this, and we have no confirmation of the specs on the unit. I can't see the point, to be honest. Valve already do so well with software sales on Steam and on consoles. It wouldn't be a major risk for them, I think. For me, personally, I've got my own comfort zone now with the Xbox, and the only thing that will get me away from the 360 is the next Xbox. Lol. Have a great show, guys. Mock.
He did have a PS. I am available to podcast whenever we want. And Mark, we will probably be taking you up on that sometime in the near future when Mr. Matthew is on hiatus.
He's available to podcast?
Every once in a while.
Wow, I was going to say, because he works nights.
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest downfall, it's like the second Tuesday of the third month of the fourth year.
Ah, right.
But when he is available, he lets us know.
Sweet.
Next email, and this is a doozy from Mr. David Brown. And I know for a fact this is where we're going to get our Ghost Recon talk in. So he starts off, "Hey all, hope you are all doing well. A couple of things, wanted to know your thoughts on Ghost Recon Future Soldier beta for those that haven't played it. Going to give my thoughts below, sorry in advance if I get carried away." So before we get into his long email, and I do mean long, let's chime in for those that have played the Ghost Recon beta, and I believe, Rich, it is just you and I so far. Thoughts, impressions?
It's a beta. It's janky. But once you get past that, and now they're starting to straighten out the servers, it's shaping up to be a bit of a heavenly mix for me, because, I mean, I've not really played any of the Ghost Recons before, but... Mm-hmm. Gameplay is like the perfect balance between Gears of War and Battlefield, because it's tactical. Yeah. It's third person. It switches to first person when I want it to switch to first person. Yeah. I'm sold.
Yeah,
beaters don't normally do that to me.
I can definitely concur with your thoughts. The first few nights of the beta were rough. Trying to get into matches. I mean, there was times you weren't even getting past a loading screen.
Really?
Yeah, it was not the prettiest of sights, and just for frustration's sake.
Yeah.
But once we started getting into games, you quickly saw this game absolutely is probably the best use or representation of squad mechanics I've seen. Maybe even more so than Battlefield 3. You know, Battlefield 3 has probably been the best game so far that's really kind of utilized good squad mechanic. But oftentimes, for me at least, with Battlefield 3, it seems like it can be broken by vehicles. And vehicle play really kind of unbalances a lot of what happens in Battlefield 3. With Ghost Recon, you know, you do have drones, but you're not getting tanks, you know, coming in, at least in the, you know, the versus mode multiplayer. You do have different devices and different things to help your team, like the engineer class. You have drones, you have sensory grenades that will kind of do a ping radar and alert other members on your team if there's somebody, you know, close by. It's well done. And you feel like you're useful, even if you're not the one getting all the kills, you still can be contributing. I have an engineer that I leveled up to get the drone, the spot drone, and I just was flying up there and spotting people. And, you know, you don't automatically get experience for just spotting people, but if you spot somebody and they get taken out, you're getting experience for that. The guns, to me, all handle really well. I know some people were complaining about muzzle flash being a big issue with them. I just didn't see that. I know that there is some muzzle flash, but it was never something that I like felt kept me from seeing my target. I always felt like I was able to, you know, see through it and see past it enough to hit my targets. But then later on, using the gunsmith, which again is another brilliant feature they've added into their game.
Gunsmith's awesome. It's the best customization tool in a shooter that I've seen.
It's excellent.
You could happily sit there for an hour and just reconfigure your weapons and stuff. It's really really good. And you can also straight out of the gunsmith, you can drop straight into a shooting range and test out what you've just changed.
I was just going to get to that, Rich.
Yeah, sorry.
No, not at all. I was going to say I wanted to make mention of that because gunsmith, in most games, you are constantly configuring your gun kind of outside of the gameplay, and you never really have a sense of, okay, is this really going to make it better or worse until you get into a multiplayer match and you start using it. Gunsmith, You can just hit, I think it's the start button or it's the back button. It's one of those two. It'll take you instantly to a gun range with the configurations that you're proposing. You don't even have to buy it yet. You can set up the gun with maybe some of the attachments you're thinking about purchasing and test it out on the gun range. And you'll get a feel for how it affects the weapon. It's a great, great tool. And I kind of like, say, like a Forza 4 in terms of the, you know, the upgrade shop where you're going through and you're tweaking settings on your car, and then you take it to the test track.
And
you're not going to want to go race right away.
Yep.
You're going to want to test it first.
And conversely to that as well, something I've been wishing for God knows how long, is having that versatility whilst you're in the game arena. So once you're playing, being able to edit your loadout fully. Not just picking a class, you can actually strip down your gun, put on the parts that you want, and then get back into the game during your respawn, which is awesome.
Yeah, and firefights are they're hectic, yet they have kind of a slow feel to me, very much Gears of War, in that it's fast and frantic at times, but because you're in that third person and you're seeing yourself running into cover. For whatever reason, it just has that element of not being that fast, twitch-based, you know, firefighting like you see in, say, a Modern Warfare 3. But anyway, yeah, can't sing the praises high enough.
Yeah.
Love the game so far, and it's just the beta, which is really good sign.
And just to go back on the tactical side of things, great thing about this game is you can always see where your teammates are via the the wicked X-ray silhouettes that they provide. You get the silhouettes, obviously, when you're throwing out sensory grenades and stuff like that. But because it's so important to know your positional play and all of that lot, you're getting to see everybody around you whilst you are actually playing. And having only just touched on Ghost Recon, I think it was 2,
mm-hmm.
I found that gameplay was really slow and clunky, but obviously it did appeal to everybody. It was tactical. This, I just think they've just honed it and tuned it so well that it's now free-flowing and excellent. Really has impressed me.
Yeah, highly recommend checking it out. And like we said, right now the beta codes are pretty much free. You can get them almost anywhere, so including my chin.
Historically, so, yeah. Has anybody here played Ghost Recon games before?
Cause I played one and two, yes.
Okay, question. How well do they support it with maps and so on? Is it something that...
It was a different era back then, mate. It was a different era. The last Scroll game came out in 2006, I believe. Totally different time for DLC. But it didn't really exist to the extent it does now. So, to be honest, it's kind of like an open ball game. Think about it. It's made by Ubisoft. Ubisoft are pretty money greedy. They released loads of DLC for Assassin's Creed. I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to support it.
Yeah, and it's the sort of game that won't come out for a while, so you can expect them to be wanting to rake the money in by giving you...
Yeah. I mean, Ubisoft are pretty... I mean, I just kind of follow the patterns of the company, really.
Assassin's Creed.
Sorry, Chris.
Even with Brawl 2 in 2006, they did have two map packs that they dropped for it.
Yeah, and they had a number of maps in them, too. Yeah,
so you can expect some.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, let's continue on with David's email, though. Let's find out what he had to say. It says, for those that don't know, I have been very good and avoided all the videos associated with Ghost Recon Future Soldier. He has. It's pretty comical. Every time I had posted something up in the Gate forums, David would just put in a quick little note. Oh, you're killing me. I can't wait to see this, but I'm not going to watch it. So he said, I must admit, I have read a couple of tidbits, but I've not done much else. He says, I had the beta downloaded on Tuesday in anticipation of just firing it up on Thursday once home from work. Did that and struggled at first to get into games. Maybe I had one match over the course of 30 to 40 minutes. I jumped into a party with Skulldugger and myself. And a crazed child in the background. That's my son. Yeah, he was having fun. He says, all three of us eventually managed to get into a couple of games, none of us knowing what we had to do, what buttons did what the equipment did. It was really just a mess of fun. But he says, I have managed a ton of games since, but none since Saturday for one reason or another. I have been graced with the presence of the two mentioned above, along with Bagman Assassin, True Shot, Zero Skills, A Fool, Zansan, Steve-O-Matic, and I'm sure a few others at some point or another. Also, to be noted, you can party up to a max of 4, in theory, 2 squads per team, 8 on each, 16 in total. That is a good point. So, unlike Battlefield 3, that's like 24, 12 aside on the Xbox 360, this is limited to 16, 16 total, 8 each side. It says, graphically, I think the game looks good, but with a bit of polish could look stunning. Cover system movement seems very fluid and no issues with that. Can't believe it's only one game mode, conflict, and two maps. So many interest, little conflicts, no pun intended, going on throughout a match despite having all these changing objectives to reach. So that's the thing about the conflict gameplay mode that we're talking about. It really is more a capture and hold kind of situation where you have different objectives that they will spawn throughout the map.
But it's also as well, it's good because it's got a mix, because it's also a bit of a VIP escorting type scenario as well for periods.
Right, so every once in a while, so you start off the game, they may say you need to go take out an EMP generator, or you need to go hack this device, and then halfway into the match, you'll hear the next objective get called out, eliminate this this high-level unit. And on the other side, they're going to hear, you know, protect this high-level unit, and it would be somebody on your squad. And so they're constantly switching around the objectives. The other interesting thing, killing other people in conflict earns you experience for upgrading your character, but it does not give you points for winning the match. The only way you actually gain points to win the matches in conflict is by completing objectives. So I thought that was a very interesting spin. So you still get the experience, and there's still value in killing, you know, the opposite team, but you're never going to win if all you're doing is trying to do team deathmatch. You have to go and try to complete objectives and defend the objectives as it directs.
I don't really think that's anything new, though.
I won't say it's anything new, but it seems to be done really well. And that's it's a fair statement you're making. It certainly isn't new. But it seems to work really well. Anyway, it says, throughout the match, despite having all these changing objectives to reach, was by myself with a random on pipeline on the left side of the map where the objective had been maybe 30 or so seconds previously. It had moved, but myself and another squadmate were battling it out against two randoms from the other team that went on for ages, it seemed. With one group making ground on the other and vice versa, grenades, camera sensors, and were on full swing, moving from cover to cover, taking pot shots. It was really fun and frantic. And that is one thing. Firefights in this game, they feel hefty. Like you can, you know, you position yourself, you see the others coming from the other side, and you set up kind of like Gears of War, but for some reason the firefights, to me at least, seemed just, again, done better. Says one member was dying on the left, was in survival mode, and that is the other thing. You can be put down and not killed, and you can crawl your way out of it and try to get to a teammate to revive you. Member was left in survival mode till another would spawn back on them, spawning some minor issues, but with nothing major, like the idea of you're too close to the intel. You can't spawn on a teammate that's sitting on the objective. It won't let you spawn there, which I liked. So it forces you to spawn from another area and have to work your way to an objective point instead of just spawning right in on the objective.
Another little point to add in there as well is one of the things about putting people down is you can actually get yourself a stun gun and basically taser an enemy, and then whilst they're down, you can hack them. And basically, you're hacking into their comm system, and as soon as you hack through it, that gives away the positions of the rest of their squad. So
yeah,
there's some really cool mechanics in there. I mean, I don't know if that's been done in past games for them, but yeah, there's lots of different variables.
Yeah, and the last thing on spawning, the other nice touch they did, so there is a generic, you know, general spawn point that both teams have, and certainly you can try and camp that spawn point, but if the game senses the spawn point is being camped and they're getting too many deaths in and around the spawn point, it will open up an alternative spawn point for the team to utilize.
Excellent.
So you have either the ability to spawn on your teammate or at the spawn point, and if it's being overrun, then spawn through the alternative. So just very nice. He goes on, the customization is very deep. For the gunsmith part, is heavily customizable from every part of the gun, which you can gain credits to upgrade. I'm not sure on this, but if you use the D-pad, you can quickly optimize the gun from what you have unlocked for, say, maneuverability, range, power, and one other name escapes me right now. It says you also have to change factions and customize that side if you wish. So I want to say it's Battlefield 3 that does this as well. So you have kind of two factions you're always fighting for, either the Russian side or the American side, so to speak. If you unlock and buy a gun, say, when you're on the U.S. side, You'll still earn credits for unlocking stuff, but you'll have to switch your sides, in a sense, kind of switch your character out to the Russian side, and then you can unlock and do a different customization. So it's not one gun for everything. It's, you know, you're unlocking that gun for that side, and then you unlock something else for the other side. And there are different weapons for both sides as well. I mean, you know, kind of like similar versions, but just named differently, that kind of thing. As you level up, more things and toys will unlock, like med kits for riflemen, computers for engineers to make it easier to hack other players, etc. Also, there are tokens available, which I'm completely unsure on what they do. So the tokens, I found out, are for respecking. So if you have a character that you've specced out a certain way with the upgrades and the equipment upgrades, because they're permanent once you upgrade, you can respec and it kind of sets you back to zero, and then you can go back through and unlock different things or different weapons if you would like. It says, for once, looking forward to see the Kinect integration on this, and if done correct, will be quite amazing. And what I've kind of gathered after playing with the gunsmith with the controller, because the beta does not have Kinect support in it, I think that Kinect support is going to be a nice-to-have add-on, very similar to kind of how they handled Mass Effect 3, in that you could use some voice commands for certain things, and it'll work pretty well. But it's not going to be something that everybody's going to have to default try and use, and certainly those that want the option can turn it off and not, you know, have to worry about it. I imagine in the gunsmith, it will be nice to just say, you know, you will be able to in a sense, kind of have it maximize for, you know, sniping, or, you know, optimize for assault. And it will automatically switch out your gun for parts that would make it the best for that scenario. But I don't know that I'm going to spend a ton of time using Kinect in Ghost Recon. I think it's going to be a nice to have, like I said, but I don't know it's going to be a must play with. And he goes on. The three classes you can use in the game are Rifleman, Engineer, and Recon
Sniper. We're still on the
email,
really?
Yes, we are. I kid you not. All have specific equipment that start with Rifleman. One of the equipment is camera, which will works as the enemy is in... Jeez, I can't even read this one. Sorry, David. I'm going to skip over this a little bit, because this part, he's basically going through the different classes. So there's a Rifleman, there's an Engineer, and there's a Recon class. They pretty much perform as you would expect in that
Rifleman, assault rifle, I'm guessing, recon,
yeah, more assault,
sniper,
recon, sniping, using
what
the cloaking device, and then the engineer will have the drones.
The good thing as well, though, to put in is they're not rigid classes, as it were. Much like Battlefield, you've always got the alternative of not using a sniper rifle and switching to, say, they've got unlocked, but there's obviously a lot more of them, an MP7, so you can get like a submachine gun out instead, be rocking it with a cloaking device and stuff, and not having to do the long range camping scenario. You can move fast, take people out with a submachine gun instead. So there's a versatility there within the classes also. So, yeah, there's lots of switches up you can do with each of them. Yeah.
But, yeah, so he goes on. I mean, in a nutshell, he says that, you know, I've played a lot. I'm up to level 11 for my Rifleman, he says, but I still feel like I'm at the start. He says, it really does change things when the squad is playing a variety of classes and are communicating with each other. It makes it really rewarding. And I totally concur with that. I've played a few matches where we had, you know, a couple of randoms in there also talking, and it just made a vast difference in the way the game felt. It says, seems like feedback was very positive at first, but the last couple of days seems like it is changing into a few negatives coming into the fray. Some of those, for example, lag personally when in the game, have only experienced this once in a ton of games I've played. I'm sure there's going to be instances of lag every once in a while. He brings up the flash of the gunfire on the weapon. He hasn't noticed it, but it was mentioned under a particular map. And then he says there was once a glitch where somebody was actually glitched underneath the map. But again, these are all things that are part of a beta, so I'm assuming I would give them the benefit of the doubt that it's going to change. He says, I was touched on this in forums, but my main reason for pre-ordering this game many moons ago now was to play the single player and also the co-op. With having tasted the multiplayer side of it, I'm really sold on what it has to offer and really looking forward to trying the other game modes, which should be added or replaced the conflict on Thursday. I have to also add that this game is far exceeding what I thought it would be many moons ago, and compared to Gras 2, really looking forward to the full release. Christ, what a wall of text and a half. Sorry for the poor soul that has to read it out loud. That's me, David. Have a great show, David the Alien.
No, it's nice. I like it when you can do an email like that and discuss while you're reading it.
No, absolutely.
I'm sold on it. I was not holding on to any sort of Splinter Cell conviction. I was not really sold on the old Grow thing, but I am now. I'm going to buy it, definitely.
I've had this game on pre-order for the better part of 2 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was sold a long time ago. One last short email. Mike, why don't you go ahead and read Mark Hell Patrol, The Last Vikings email.
All right. I'll just scroll down these 50-page emails here. Okay, lovely.
This is a short one, I promise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right, so Mark Hell Patrol / The Last Viking says, I love the sound of this, especially, this is the Steam box for people who are paying attention.
Going back to the Steam box.
I like the sound of the Steam box, especially with it being run by Valve, who certainly have a good pedigree when it comes to downloadable games. Explanation point. If we are to lose the disc format altogether, and they have to rely on downloadable games to get our fix, I would be all over the Steam box rather than having to buy different consoles. Mark, a.k.a. Hell Patrol.
Yeah, thanks for that, Mark.
I'm going to roll on straight on to the next week's question, Greg. I'm just going to do it myself.
I think you should. Mike.
I haven't spoken for a while. Question for show 166 is, what game is on your personal radar now that wasn't at the start of the year?
Ghost Recon.
Maybe, Rich, we can get you to pick a different one just for the sake of picking. All right, Mr. Matthew, it is that time.
Yeah, it is. What time was that again?
It's community play day.
Oh, that time. Sorry.
Yes.
It's
okay.
So much goodness going on, I got excited. I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed. I thought I could feel it. Sunday, veteran gamers are playing Left 4 Dead. Have fun with that. What?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought Mike said something.
No, I didn't.
Michael says something.
Oh.
I didn't say anything.
I'm sorry. Never mind. Some ongoing things going down. Painting challenge numero two. Overhauling my ride, so get out your artiste on the Forzas. Coolest Skyrim character name. I think the vote is still open. And I do want to take a minute to talk about this one. Marcanix hinted at it, but it bears repeating. It is time for the annual Gaming for the Elderly Gamer Score competition. And just to be clear, again, it's not how much gamer score you have. It's how much gamer score you earn during the time of the competition. It starts, I believe, on the 5th of May and runs through sometime in July. So even if you have zero gamer score now, you're probably in a good position to win the competition because there's lots of games out there with easy gamer score that you can grab, right? So don't be afraid. We're offering up 1 year's Xbox Live Gold membership to the winner. So that's pretty hefty prize, right? Good. Sign up.
Like it.
Happy birthday this week to Sterile D, the original beard, and Backman35. And welcome. We had some new members to Game Crypt.
They heard us.
The Likely Lad. Getting Her Done, Thydarian, which is probably the coolest Skyrim character name, and Matthew, surely his name's not Matthew Shite. Matthew Shite, welcome to the forum. Right, that should bring us to Mr. 3000.
Yes, Community Spotlight. Here we go.
Hello, peeps. This is Parsnip Nose with another weekly Community Spotlight. This week, I'd like to mention Ginge. Ginge's dad passed away last week, and really, I just wanted to let you know, Ginge, that all your friends at G4TE are thinking of you, and we're very sorry for your loss. And we look forward to you coming back and continuing the R2 Championship whenever you feel ready. So keep your chin up. We're thinking of you. See you, Ginge.
And definitely well said. Ginge, keep the chin up. Know that our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Yep. That's a tough time, but hey, everybody's around here to help you out and to forget about it. And well, not forget about it. You know what I mean. Just to kind of take your mind off it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Alright, let's wrap this show up with a pretty bow. Email in the show, Mike, walk us through this.
Well, if somebody wants to email the show, like some people have this week, you know, I don't mind it being long emails as long as I don't have to read them. But if you do want to email the show, we do appreciate people coming in and contacting us and telling us their thoughts. Email the show at ocpodcast@gmail.com. That's ocpodcast@gmail.com.
Okay. And Rich, the king of Twitter, if somewhere to tweet the show.
Yes. If you want to avoid a wall of text, contact us on Twitter, 143 characters, @OC_podcast.
Nicely said. And Mr. Matthew, while you're away on your travels and lonely and thinking about us
every week, I'll probably just breathe heavily into the phone, but when I do that, it'll be at 626-506-2763 or 626-50-OC-POD for those of you who like the words with friends.
Yeah Alright, that leaves us to closing notes. So Mr. Matthew, start us off.
Short list this week. First, I want to shout out David the Alien and Marcanix. I think the two of you are well on your way to publishing your very own video games magazine, so get working on that. Rich will do the graphics for you. And I want to shout out Rich this week for not being asleep. Good to hear from you again.
Yes.
Yep. And so I'm going to pass it to Mike.
I will shout out the Claret and Blue, Aston Villa, for playing terrible. I will also shout out Rich for coming back on the show. Welcome back. And I'll also shout out the Likely Lad, because he's joined up on the site, and I've met the Likely Lad in real life.
Okay. Was he likable?
Yeah, he was, yeah. Oh, I see where he got that name from there. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's it, mate. Oh, I don't know. Greg, you go for change.
All right. I would like to shout out Ubisoft for giving me a ton of entertainment this past weekend because, of course, they bought up the Red Links developer for Trials Evolution. And they also, of course, are putting forward the Ghost Recon beta. So Ubisoft getting all kinds of love from me this weekend. Also would like to shout out Rich for not falling asleep, Mike for finding it in his busy schedule to make the show, and Mr. Matthew for your last show for a while. I absolutely want to shout you out. You will be missed. Most certainly.
Don't tell lies, Greg.
Okay, you won't be missed. But
is this your last show because you're going away for a bit? Is that all right?
Yeah, I'll be driving next week. I think the week after that I might be able to get back on, depending upon internet connectivity issues.
Chris has numerous outstanding warrants, and now he's been made to pay for them.
Yes. Yeah.
He's going on the run. Okay. With that said, I also want to apologize to our listener community for what is to come next week, because honestly, I have no idea what form or shape this podcast will take, because I won't be here either next week.
Nice.
Craziness. We were going to be turning this over to the asylum known as Great Britain.
Well, we got to find at least one American, otherwise we don't have the overseas and overseas connection.
Mike, can we just upload a single tone, like,
for 2 hours?
Yeah.
So what, if Greg and Chris are here next week, we're not doing it at 11 o'clock at night.
This is true. You will have the ability to record earlier.
Jesus.
Look at that. How exciting will that be?
No chance. There's no chance.
It's going to be like vacation.
All right. Well, we'll work it out.
Yeah. We'll talk.
We'll work it out.
All right. Rich, you are last, but certainly not least.
Yeah, I will shout out John Mouse because he instigated the Half-Life 2 Haters Club on Twitter. We've been bouncing a few Twitters about, and it's sprouted numerous hashtags. Pap-free gaming, one of them. Tell it like it is, another one. Also, gravitate my arse, and other ones as well. And a couple of other games are getting thrown into that. From Johnny Fartpants, Halo, controversially, and Gears of War. So there you go. Shout out to them. I'd also like to shout out Companion Cube, because I said I would. And that's Dan Jones. Also, Phil Olson. He's been getting numerous mentions on various podcasts, but Virtual Pizza, his first foray into the podcasting world. And check it out. It's not about games, it's about things that us blokes like that play games, gadgetry, films, etc. And I found it very entertaining. Half hour, quick hits of information, very good. And finally, I want to shout out Mr. Duke Scaff, because if anybody from CNN is listening out there, I've got a dream that this man will be picked up and put on television somewhere or on the radio, because as a solid, awesome broadcaster, I think he's wicked. He's, I don't know, didactic. Is it didactic syncast now?
Yes.
As it were, excellent. Thoroughly enjoying it. And it's not just your normal stuff to listen to. And, you know, some might say it's highbrow, but others wouldn't, as our little ditty goes. And I would be one of the ones that said wouldn't, because he's got a great mix of information in there, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And also I'd like to point out as well that the guy has got excellent interviewing skills, as I've seen on the Veteran Gamers, and I wish my kids were getting taught by him. Top bloke, and fully enjoyed it. And last one is... last one, honest, this is the last one. G.W. Smith, 91 years old, an inspiration for my past 40 years. That's me. Out. Done. Moving on.
Jam a fool, I think, Greg.
Yes, indeed.
Jam a fool.
I won't be here next week.
Okay, so officially you are done. This is your last show for...
Well, I imagine once I get settled down in Abilama, I'll be able to get... I'm going to kill that fucking dog.
It's got good power-up systems, and...
And?
He's dead.
He's dead.
It's going to be one of those nights, Greg.
It's going to be one of those nights.
I think...
Literally.
I think I'm just going to leave. I'm kidding.
Well, we can. Yeah. All right, here we go. Charging through. Nice. Finger tapping.
Flange.
Hi. Killing me, Smalls.
Oh,
really?
Show break.
Yay.
Back in five.
Woo. No, I don't need to answer that. Everybody just relax.
Rich, get back.
Come on, Rich.
He's already gone. Fuck him. Let's
go.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
We don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.